Let me ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. We're going to begin our reading at verse 42 and read through verse 47. Listen to this description of the church. Hear now the word of God, Acts 2, beginning with verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. We'll look back through these verses. There's a lot here, and let's get started as we pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for this year that you've set before us. Lord, it's a great time for us, a great opportunity for growth this year. We pray, God, that would be the case for us. Lord, we pray most of all that you'll help us to look into your word and better understand and then structure our lives according to it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. He was a scrawny 5'2", 90-pound eighth grader with nothing but a dream to play basketball, a desire to play basketball, and a dogged determination to play basketball. To play well, this young man had to focus on the fundamentals, namely shooting and passing and dribbling the ball. So he dribbled the basketball, not just on the basketball court, but he dribbled the basketball as he walked down the hallways of his school, as he walked through his house. He dribbled as he walked home beside the railroad track. He dribbled the basketball on the railroad tiles. As he rode his bicycle, he dribbled. In a room, he dribbled with seats all around the room and himself blindfolded. He dribbled and he dribbled and he dribbled and he shot and he shot and he shot. And because this young man focused on the fundamentals, which in basketball are dribbling, passing, and shooting, the late Pistol Pete Maravich became one of the most spectacular basketball players in the history of the sport. I'd encourage you, if you've never seen it, to Google the DVD of the movie, 1991 movie, The Pistol, The Birth of a Legend, and you can see for yourself what incredible. I actually got to see him one time, University of Southern Mississippi, when the University of Southern Mississippi freshman played the LSU freshman. I got to see this young man, a guy who would take a rebound and literally take the ball and throw it the length of the court from under the basket to someone going down the court to score. Amazing player. But keep in mind the fundamentals. That's what he focused on. In order to achieve success, you have to focus on the fundamentals. I stand this morning under the authority of God's Word. I stand before you, and as I do, I'm going to go ahead, as I look out into this congregation, I'm going to make three assumptions about you. Here's what I'm assuming as we begin. First of all, I'm assuming that you are committed to the church. That's my first assumption. After all, the church is not a divine afterthought. It's not an extra. It's not an add-on. It's at the very center of the eternal purposes of God. Biblically speaking, a unchurched Christian is a walking contradiction, an oxymoron, sort of like accidentally on purpose, or act naturally, or airline food. It's an oxymoron. God did not keep in mind, in the Bible, God did not save just isolated individuals. God's intention always has been, it still is, to build His church with living stones that I see before us right now. People, we are committed to the church because God is committed to the church. So I'm assuming that about you, that you're committed to the church. Second assumption I'm going to make about you is this. I'm assuming that you are committed to what we call incarnational living. In other words, we believe that just as Jesus entered our world and became identified with this world without losing His identity, we are called as people who are in Christ to go into the world, to permeate our culture the way that water fills a sponge, to shine the light of the gospel into the darkest corners of this world without losing our identity. Some people call it association without contamination. You may have heard the phrase being in but not of the world. So that's my second assumption before we even begin this morning. Assuming that, one other assumption is this. I'm going to assume that by being here this morning that you are committed to growth in your life, both as an individual and as a member of Lakeland Presbyterian Church or whatever church you're a member of. You see, in our life, in the life of the church, for as long as the Lord leaves us here, you only have two options before you. You're either going to advance or you're going to retreat. You're either going to grow or you're going to become stagnant, stunted, and stale in your spiritual life. There is no cruise control, no putting the car in neutral, no treading water, no holding pattern. To succeed, you and the church must grow. Now, by God's metric of measuring success, the church in Acts 2 was a successful church. Look at verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all people, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. A successful church. People saw something very awesome happening. These people enjoyed favor with God. The Lord added to their numbers. This church, you could say, was a church with a Gillette edge, a church of irresistible influence. They succeeded because they focused on the fundamentals. This morning, the message from these verses to us is this simple. Since this year and every year of your life, there is no standing still in your Christian life. You need to know how to grow, how to move ahead, how to succeed as a Christian. You cannot stand still. You will not be at this place spiritually this time next year. You will either be going this way or you will be going this way. So, what do? We focus on four fundamentals. Remember now how Pistol Pete committed himself to dribbling and passing and shooting. Well, the commitment here, verse 42, they devoted themselves to something. By the way, this is in the Greek, this is they continually devoted themselves. They stuck themselves to the task of what they were doing. They stuck with it like super glue. It wasn't hit or miss. They never got off task. Growth and success was a matter of doing something and sticking with it. That's their focus. That's how we grow. You can't just throw something against the wall and hope it sticks. You got to keep with it. And here are the four fundamentals. First fundamental of growth is this. With growth, there is a focus on learning. A focus on learning, and specifically on learning the Bible. A living church, a church filled with living, growing people, is a church committed to learning God's Word. Notice it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles' teaching? It's God's Word, especially the Old Testament, which is all they had at that time. For us to grow, we must commit ourselves to being lifelong students at this university, University of God's Word. As a matter of fact, when you were converted, you were enrolled at the University of God's Word, and graduation day from this school is not until the day you die. And between being enrolled and graduation, you are here. You are enrolled in this university, Bible U, if you want to call it that. And you're either being tardy or you're attending. Or you're not attending. You're skipping school. So let me ask you a question today. We're not many days into this year. How are you doing in school? Are you placing yourself under the authority of God's Word? One thing's for sure, this year, you're going to listen to somebody. You're going to follow somebody's directions. You may be one of these people who say, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, guess what? You're listening to yourself then. You're making yourself the authority. So listen to and follow the direction of God's voice speaking to you through the Word. And then another question is this. Not just are you listening, are you putting yourself under the authority, but are you actually eager to hear God's Word? I love over in Acts 17, let me just read it to you, what it says about the believers in Berea. It says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Listen to this. Because they received the Word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. When I think of eagerness, I think of my two dogs at home, Toby and Chester. All I have to do is pull out a treat. I mean, they are, listen, if you look like that every Sunday morning when I started preaching, I would preach myself into a state of exhaustion every single Sunday. We should be that eager to receive the Word and to check out what's being said, to hold me and John and other teachers accountable to the Word. So I ask you this morning, I know you want to grow. I know you're committed to growing. How's your relationship with this book right here? Are you committed to learning God's Word, to placing yourself under the authority of God's Word, to being a hungry receiver of God's Word? Are you going to listen to God's Word this year? Are you going to read God's Word? Are you going to study it? Are you going to at least put some of it into your memory banks? Are you going to apply God's Word? Are you going to do that? If you will focus on this fundamental, you will grow. This church will grow. It'll grow spiritually, numerically, because people are somehow drawn to a church that is focused on and feeding on the Word. You have an opportunity this year. This is a little bit of an advertisement. We're going to see how to grasp the entire Old Testament in just 7 verses. That's what we're going to be doing. It's an opportunity to really get into the Word this year. I can assure you, we become focused like this. People will come to this church like ants to a picnic, like fans used to come into Davis Wade and Hemingway Stadium. Notice in the second place, the second fundamental is this. Besides focusing on the Word, notice also with growth, there's a focus on fellowship. Notice, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. That's the second fundamental. Now, usually when you and I think of fellowship, one word comes to mind, does it not? Food. You know, the two words do go together, food and fellowship. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I want to expand your understanding of fellowship, because the word fellowship is used in the business world. See, the word koinonia means to share something. And there's actually a couple of cargoes of meaning. We share in fellowship, we share in something, and with fellowship, we share out. Let's look at that for just a moment. You see, in fellowship, we share in a common life. You know, God's intention from the beginning was for people to share life together. The only time in Genesis 1:2 God said anything wasn't good was when He said it's not good for the man to be alone. Fellowship is God's idea. And at the heart of fellowship is a desire on our part to open up our lives, to open up our homes, to stop being so guarded, so protected, to stop being, to wanting to be more vulnerable and sharing with each other, our trials and our struggles. You know, vulnerability is not a priority in our social media age. Social media encourages us to put our best foot forward, to paint a happy picture for the world to see on Facebook. Listen, you know as well as I do, nobody's got it all together. We are all sinners saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And every single person in here has some area of their life, including me, where they are struggling with trials and with sin in their life. Listen, Lakeland Presbyterian Church is going to either be a fellowship of struggling sinners or it's going to be a fraternity of Pharisees. It's up to you. If we remain in our protective shells, pretending we're better than we are, we'll be like a bunch of marbles in a bag, existing only to collide with each other. God doesn't want us to collide. He wants us to console and confess what we have in common and not criticize how different I am from how you are and how you are different from me. I look out here today and we come from different cultures and churches. As a matter of fact, most of you here this morning probably did not grow up. Some of you did, but most of you did not grow up in Lakeland Presbyterian Church. We come from different family backgrounds. Each family has its own baggage, its own dysfunctions. We have different personalities, temperaments, interests, gifts, abilities. But we share the same God. We have the same Heavenly Father, the same Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we share the same Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So if we want to grow as Christians, we emphasize what we have in common. Let's emphasize our commonalities. But also in fellowship, not only do we share in, but we share out. In other words, in fellowship, we use whatever resources we have to help others. Look at 44 and 45. They held all things in common, selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had needs. Listen, there is no way to avoid the challenge of those verses. We are to share with people in the church and then share with people outside the church. As you know, America is still the richest nation on the face of this earth. But yet over 50 million people in this nation live below the poverty line without adequate resources of food and shelter and clothing. And we complain about welfare. You complain about it, and so do I. But we forget that historically speaking, the reason there is welfare in the United States of America is that the church dropped the ball when it came to helping the poor. We were the ones who were supposed to help the poor. We didn't do it. We turned it over to the government, and it got corrupt. So let's go ahead and look in the mirror. We're to blame for this welfare mess. Friends, if you want to grow spiritually, if you want this church to grow, we need to focus on this fundamental of fellowship, sharing a common life, sharing with each other, sharing with those who are in need in our community. So, two fundamentals so far for growth. One is the Word, second, fellowship. The third fundamental is this. With growth, there's a focus on worship. A focus on worship. I want you to notice now verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. We have here the Lord's Supper and fellowship meals within the church, prayer meetings, prayer services. I want you to notice in a real church that's growing how balanced worship is. Notice here it's both formal and informal. They met in the church with a degree of formality. They supplemented their formal meetings by meeting informally in each other's homes. It was both and. There's big worship in the temple. Informal worship in smaller groups. For us, we have Sunday morning. We have Wednesday night, which I consider to be an extended small group. We have Bible studies during the week in the church. We have gatherings. Worship is both formal and informal. Something else about worship is this. There's a balance in worship in that it's both joyful and reverent. You see, if a group in a church is spirit-filled, if there's some fruit of the Spirit being demonstrated in our lives, our worship should have a note of joy. In other words, no one attending a worship service here at Lakeland Presbyterian Church should think they have by mistake stumbled into a funeral service or entered the loser's locker room after the Egg Bowl. Friends, Christianity is a joyful religion. Every service should be a celebration. Archbishop Jerry Fisher said, "The longer I live, the more convinced I am that Christianity is one long shout of joy. And when joy is missing, it drains the life of the church. It drains your life too." Luther put it so well, Martin Luther. He said, "A Christian should be a walking, talking, living, breathing hallelujah from the top of his head to the tip of his toes." At the same time, if you read the Bible, you know there's also a note of reverence in our worship. You know, if some churches are more like attending funerals, other churches are too much like attending a sanctified pep rally. Some churches actually have flashing strobes and smoke. Much too flippant, much too casual. No sense of a group of people encountering a God so holy that even sinless angels, seraphim, had to hide face and feet from the Lord. When we worship and God manifests His presence in a special way as He does in worship, we bow before God with a mixture of wonder and humility, a sense of awe and rapturous joy. Lost, I love the hymn line, lost in wonder, love, and praise. What a great summary. Caught up in wonder, love, and praise. Growing Christians are worshiping Christians. Growing Christians gather together on a weekly basis to worship the Lord. Let me give you a verse to jot down and memorize. It's Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25, it says, "And do not forsake the assembling of yourself together, as some are in a habit of doing." In other words, attending church is a habit you can get into, and not attending church is a habit you can get into. You're going to choose which habit you get into this year. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, even more so because you see the day of the Lord approaching. Friends, just like coal loses its heat when removed from fire, a Christian loses their fire for the Lord when we're removed from the context of regular, weekly worship of the Lord God. So what do we have? The fundamental of the Word, the fundamental of fellowship, the fundamental of worship. One more, and that's this. If we're going to focus on the fundamentals, if you intend to grow this year, if you intend to advance and not decline, the fourth fundamental is this. With growth, there's a focus on evangelism. Don't let the word scare you. Notice what it says. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What we're talking about is outreach here. To the community, to the state, to the nation, to the world. It's very clearly what Jesus is saying when he says in Acts chapter 1, let me read it to you. It says, "You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Brandon, Reservoir area, Hines, Rankin County, Mississippi, United States of America, the world, you will be my witnesses. Now notice here that the gospel as presented in the Bible is always given. The word gospel is, in fact, means good news. It's not good advice, it's good news about the life and the death and the resurrection, the ascension, the return, and the restoration of all things because of Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice here some reminders about evangelism, some things we need to remember. One thing is this, the Lord Himself makes people Christians. See, the Lord added to their number. Friends, only the Lord can open the eyes of those who are spiritually blind, give life to those who are spiritually dead. Only the Lord can add to the numbers of a church. We need to be humble enough to realize that while the Lord is pleased to use us to bring the gospel to others, we don't convert anyone. I talked to someone in the church the other day who said he was responsible for at least 50 conversions this year. And I thought, wow. First of all, bad pressure. Secondly, a misunderstanding of conversion. Conversion is a resurrection. Can any of y'all resurrect someone from the dead? Not last time I looked. Conversion is God's work, so we don't get the big head. God may bless you this year with witnessing, but we're not going to give you a conversion quota, okay? Secondly, the Lord does two things together. Notice He added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Notice He does not add people to the church without first saving them, and He does not save people without also adding them to the church. You can't separate salvation and church membership. It's like love and marriage, horse and carriage, peanut butter and jelly, or as my favorite theologian Forrest Gump said, peas and carrots. They just go together. Even better, church membership and Christianity is like Siamese twins. Salvation and church membership go together. Two sides of the same coin. But I want you to notice one other thing about evangelism. It says here, it added to their number day by day. The Lord evangelizes day by day. That means this. That's what it means for you. First of all, pray that God would convert someone that you know that's not a Christian. Okay? Make you a prayer list. But then also be alert for opportunities the Lord places in your path to speak to others. And then make sure you set a good example. Have you noticed people are imitators by nature? We wear the clothes other people are wearing. We listen to music other people listen to. We watch movies and TV that other people watch. We even talk like people around us. When I was on sabbatical visiting some churches, I went to a church that was very youth-oriented. In the morning worship, instead of saying, we'd like to welcome you to church this morning to worship with us, pastor got up and said, what's up? It's a little bit out of my comfort range, to say the least. But listen, never underestimate the power of your example. Never underestimate the gospel according to you that people see. They are filtering the truth of the gospel through what they see in your life, Monday through Saturday. I never understood a lack of passion for evangelism on anyone's part. If you found a cure for cancer, a real cure for the Ebola virus, I don't think you'd hesitate for one second sharing that cure with the world. Well, the gospel is good news, where we share a cure for something far worse than cancer, something far more deadly than Ebola virus. Not in a laboratory did we discover it, but in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one, as the hymn writer says, that has that double cure for sin, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Only that comes from the gospel. Friends, we should be eager through our example and our words, our lips and our lives, to share the good news of the gospel. Now, there's your pathway. Notice, focus on the fundamentals. It's simple. Focus on God's word this year. This year, focus on fellowshipping, sharing your life with others in this church, sharing what you have with others. Focus on worshiping the Lord in a joyful and reverent way. Focus on evangelizing others with your lips and your lives. Now let me circle back to Pistol Pete Maravich. This young man, he succeeded because he stayed focused on the fundamentals of basketball. But that's just part of the picture. The other part of the picture was his father, Press Maravich. Press was supportive of him. He loved him no matter what, and he pushed this young man to the heights of achievement and fame. And we need to remember, as we focus on these four fundamentals, you and I have a perfect Heavenly Father. A Father who loves us with a love that nothing can separate. What can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? Do you realize this year, as you go into this year, there's no way you can do anything to make God unlove you? You are secure in God's love. And God the Father is committed to you. You ever looked at this in Romans 8:31? God is for us. Think about that. God is for you. No matter who is against you, God, if you're a Christian, is for you. And God is for you. Not maybe, not might be, not if you meet these conditions. He is for you. And God is for you. He's not your enemy. He is for you. And guess what? He's for you. Individually, and in the South, we'd say he's for y'all. If God is for y'all. God spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all. Will he not also give us all things? And we have a father who, instead of pushing us like a lot of earthly fathers do, this father enables us through the power of the Holy Spirit to do great things that result in growth. So I want to ask you, beginning today, today's a good day to start. The only day we have, isn't it, right now? Beginning today, is it going to be growth or stagnation? Moving ahead or falling back? You can't stay stuck in neutral, friends. Someone once described, one of my professors once described Christian growth this way. It's like going up an inclined plane. You're either going up it or you're going down. You put it in neutral, guess where you're going? Down. So what's it going to be? Moving ahead, falling back. Here's the plan. You can do it. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. You have a Heavenly Father who's going to encourage you. The question is, will you do it? Only thing I can say, I'm not a coach, but I can tell you this. The ball is in your court. What you going to do with it? Let's pray. Lord, I pray by your grace and by the empowerment of your Holy Spirit that we will have these priorities this year, these four priorities, four simple priorities, that we would be committed to learning your word, that we would be committed to fellowship, that we would be committed to worship, and that we would be committed to witnessing to others and to evangelization. Lord, this is the path of growth. I pray that every person within the sound of my voice would take this path. Lord, we pray that we would not only see the ball is in our court, but that we would take it to the basket every day. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you this morning that we're not being put under a burden of expectations that we are expected to do, because we have a Father who a Heavenly Father who loves us and encourages us. We have a Son, we have a Father's Son who loves us and lived and died to forgive us for those times that we failed this year. And we have the Holy Spirit living within us who empowers us to do what it takes to grow. So Lord, we pray that we would focus on the Bible, fellowship, worship, and evangelism. My prayer as pastor of this church is that everyone in this building would see tremendous growth during this year, 2020. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.